Can I tell you something real quick?
What's up, babe?
Yeah, I was just thinking, those guys that just called, you know, the debt collection people, they're calling about our credit card. Maybe we can just pay it off. And,
our credit card or your credit card?
Come on now. We can just pay it off and then, you know, then we can, you know.
You've got to be kidding me. Thing, you know what I'm saying? No, babe. That's your credit card. You pay your damn credit card.
Really?
We're not even married.
Exactly. Maybe we can just go ahead and just get married after we pay off our debts.
Are you kidding me? How does that make sense to you?
Come on. You know, we just pay it off and then we'll get married.
So I help you pay your credit card and then you can propose to me?
Well, our credit card.
I'm sorry, babe. I can't.
In this video, we're talking about financial problems and marriage. How can financial problems affect marriage? Stay tuned. All right. Welcome back. Let's talk about money. Let's talk about money and marriage.
Money.
Financial problems, marriage. Isn't that number one thing that kills marriages?
I think so.
You know what? Instead of assuming, we can just Google it.
It's either number one or number two.
Number one cause of divorce. All right. So that's a quote that I put together by today. The number one way to prevent divorce. Did you see that quote?
Yes.
Is to don't use the word divorce.
Avoid the word.
Avoid using the word divorce. And I mean that when you're in conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, people start arguing, the first thing they go to is, I'm going to go find for divorce. Yes. I was the first one that made a mistake.
Now you're planting the seed.
Yeah. All right. So, number one cause is money.
Money.
Number one cause of divorce is money. There's tons of articles out here on it. But we decided we wanted to talk about that. We do have a question with regards to that. Why is money a big problem in marriages, though?
Money is important. Very important.
So people don't even talk about their financial life a lot of time before they get married, right?
Just like no, they don't. Yeah. They really don't. You know, mm-hmm. I'm in love. You're in love.
Yeah.
Let's go get married.
Yeah.
And then reality kicks you in the butt. And the struggle starts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you can't take it no more.
Yeah. And then also, I think, you know, for a lot of them, it's not because money is not coming in. If money stops coming in, it can kill attraction. Let me talk about that first.
Right.
Okay. If money stops coming in a healthy way where the books are balanced, it can kill attraction. It's especially true if you're not working together on the finances.
Especially if you're not working together.
Yeah. So if you're working together on the finances, it can still kill attraction because it's a mental thing. It creates stress. If money is not coming in, it creates stress. And depending on the personality differences of the husband and the wife, it could be either, you know, that will first shut down because, think about it, we couldn't pay our rent 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is not going to want to have sex.
Mm-hmm. We don't like money in the bank. We want some cash in the bank.
If it's the one that's not really the breadwinner, mm-hmm. it's going to be very easy for the other one to point blaming fingers and say, you're a gold digger.
Yeah. What do you bring to the table?
You're only happy if I bring money.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, believe it, I just try to explain it and put it in order so you can see how everybody thought about it. This one says, no money is coming. And this one says, oh, I was the one that was bringing the money. Oh, you're a gold digger, right?
Right.
And believe it or not, it has nothing to do with any of that. Bottom line is that anything that's stressful, that creates stress in a marriage, will kill attraction. And if attraction is gone, basically you're gonna be at the mercy of unconditional love.
Yeah.
Expecting unconditional love from a human being, right? And then human being is gonna be like, roll up. I am human.
It's right?
So
preach.
So that's one of the main reasons why I love number two, core pillar, purpose. because it's very much attached to financial well-being in many ways. Because if you're focused on your purpose, it will produce, because you will serve other people basically with your purpose, and you will give value to the world. And the number one reason why money comes is when you create value. You know, it's not number one, it's the only way that money comes, it's created. The only way money is created is when you create value for other people. So when you're in your purpose, that's extremely easy and second nature for you to do. So money won't be a problem when you get to a certain point, if you're focused long term enough and you're consistent. In the beginning, it can be tough, because everybody can say, why don't you go find a job? That may be a real thing too. You may need to find a job temporarily, right? So
why don't you start small?
So it's not that somebody's trying to be a gold digger when money becomes a problem in the marriage. It's because it creates stress. It creates unnecessary, or what somebody may consider unnecessary stress.
I mean, if you're gonna call your spouse a gold digger, you marry the gold digger. So what does that say about you?
I'm a gold digger marrier.
You share half of that blame, okay?
Well, as always, right?
Yeah.
So it's very important to pay attention to your finances. Because if it's not, like we're watching the other show, what was this show? One of the housewives, where the guy filed for bankruptcy, you know? Things like that can be inevitable sometimes. You know, so it's a billionaire, supposedly, who filed for bankruptcy. That doesn't mean they're going to be hungry, but
their lifestyle is going to change.
They're thinking at the level of billionaire, they have to downgrade from living in Potomac to living in a place in Virginia that's not Potomac, right? So that became a social issue too, because among the friends, they start talking, they start being in our ears, and then before you know it, she start acting it out at home.
Yeah, because they're attached to the word Potomac. That's where you're supposed to be if you're a millionaire.
So if my wife had friends like that, right, I'm also responsible to diffuse that when she brings that kind of energy home, because she may not be strong enough in the moment. She may bring that kind of energy home. She may not even know. A lot of time we're annoyed, pissed off, we don't know why, and it's just the hormones, the chemicals. You know, we're
imbalance.
It's just what it is, you know. And you're responsible for how you react to that. You know, so you're not responsible for our actions. Your reactions is your action. You're responsible for that. So there's all kind of way. Money is a daily thing in our lives. Like it's something we have to count every day. When you eat lunch at work,
you have to control.
You may say you like eating that lunch. I may say stop eating lunch, $13 every day.
We need a budget
in our pocket. And you may be like, I can't eat no $10 lunch anymore. Like, you know, you may feel that way. And now I need to find, we need to find a common ground where she wants a $10 lunch. Let her have that, you know. Let, like, as a matter of fact, let her have that $10, okay? Because it's peace of mind for you and it's peace of mind for her.
I mean, that's if you can afford it. What if you can't afford it?
Let's say you can't afford it, right? Let's say you can't afford $10. And we're like, then I'm going to put you in the responsibility of our money.
That's right. That's another reverse psychology way of doing it. Because when she's looking at the account and she's making all the, you know, she's like, okay,
because here's what
this is not making sense. I'm spending $10 on lunch every afternoon when I could be making a meal less than $5 to take to work. Trust me. She's going to snap back.
Because you know one funny way that God works sometimes. I may just give you that responsibility. You may find another creative way that I couldn't find to extract three times that money out, and she will still be able to eat a $10 lunch. She will extract $30 from somewhere else because she managed it so good, and she's like, I knew better. And there's a lot of time that women versus men will be more powerful like that just because you gave them that responsibility. So it's a lot of wisdom that went into what I just said. If you got it, kudos to you. Okay, but what I'm saying is not about the money. It's about the whole attachment thing. If you're attached to your money, I was, right? To not the money, but to the management of it, right?
Right.
You know, if you attach to that, first of all, you can't grow, not just in marriage, you can't grow in business either. You have to know how to delegate.
Right.
So the delegation of the counting of the money and management of the money may just be the simple thing you need to really have her to say, you know what, it's true, we can't afford that $10. Matter of fact, not only can we not afford that $10, babe, we need to find a way to be in the same car to work since we're on the same route every day instead of burning gas on the two
cars.
She will come up with that just because
okay.
you made it her idea.
Right. I mean, for example, you travel out of town for work most of the time.
Right.
I work not too far from the home.
Right.
And we have two cars. Why do we have two cars?
Right.
Makes absolute no sense.
Right.
We scrap one car, we use one car.
But that's something we agreed to. The problem that's comes when...
we had to agree. Right. Like, come on, this is not making sense.
So, let's say I say, I want a car, which I did at one point. Right.
You're paying insurance on that car, and you're not even driving the car.
Right.
Like, it's not making any sense.
You know, I had to get burnt before I realized that that wasn't a productive situation.
Mm.
Right. But she was patient enough to let me get burnt.
Hmm.
Okay. So now the patience, not everybody has that. That's another reason why you can't compare yourself to everybody. Right.
Right.
But what you can know is that either you're the husband or the wife. If you're listening to me and you heard the word patience, that means you have the ability to practice patience.
Yes, we all do.
And that means God has made you the leader in that arena.
Right.
That part of your marriage. You need to be patient and you need to have conversations. Conversations means you listen to each other, right? On what's a common goal. If you don't have a common goal, right? Like, for example, my wife it's a common goal. When we're trying to get to save $100,000, it's a common goal. When we're trying to build beyond that, it's a common goal.
Yep.
When we're trying, it's a common goal. Even though we have our own purpose separate, but that purpose needs to align with the common purpose.
Yep.
Right? These are conversations that needs to be had, but don't be anal. Don't be uptight when you're having these conversations.
No.
The way her and I have it is when we are frying akara in the kitchen. It's at the kitchen countertop when we're just talking about other things, other political issues that's going on and stuff like that.
Right.
We don't say, hey, we need to talk.
Oh no, oh Lord. You already know how I feel about that.
We need to talk.
Oh Lord.
Right. It needs to be done. You need to make sure it's done, but make sure that you keep a light-headed, fun environment, ambience in the room, because if you don't do that, it will create what you're trying to avoid, which is stress, pressure, and that kills attraction, because that's the main thing that really holds your marriage together, besides God, your personal purpose, and your self-sustainability. Okay, you bring something to the table that creates attraction. But attraction is a byproduct of doing all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just, again, being uptight, it's a sign that you're attached to some kind of outcome, and you're gonna put that on the other person, and they're gonna stress out and they're gonna react. They're not gonna know why they're reacting, but they are in fact reacting. You're gonna overreact to it, and then you create arguments, right?
Yeah,
you create the energy that you in fact don't want. So you need to pay attention to all of that. Okay, once you practice makes perfect, right? It becomes a part of who you are. You start paying attention to that. So we have this one question, short question, regards to finance. It says, I'm not married, I'm a single parent, but my boyfriend wants to combine finances. Like, why?
Do they live together or something?
Okay, let's see. It says, we can get married after we're debt free. I'm very hesitant. Any advice?
I mean, combined finances, do they live together?
No.
Because if they live
together, mention of that.
Then I can understand, bills need to be paid.
Right.
But if you don't live together, I don't think it's a wise idea to combine finances. I really don't.
Yeah, like why?
Why?
It's one of those things that make me say, why? And why are you so anal about that again?
Mm-mm.
Attachments?
Mm-mm.
Neediness?
That's a straight up
clinginess?
No.
you know, you're already having questions about it. That's killing attraction, clearly.
Mm.
You know, that's going to cause trouble. If he's doing that before you guys are married, it's going to be worse.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
It is. So, and then he said, we can get married after we're debt-free. Seems like he doesn't want to get married to me.
That's a condition.
Yeah. It's a condition.
You like me or you don't like me?
Exactly.
No.
Because we could go to Vegas and just get married. We can actually go to the court and just be married. Right. Just like that.
You know, there
you
are
don't need a big fancy party.
Contrary to most people's beliefs, there are marriages that were done in the Vegas temple that actually lasted years upon years upon years.
You know?
So people make absolute statement like that kind of marriage can last.
It's not gonna
says
last.
Who?
And the ones you spend $100 million on don't break up.
Exactly.
Oh please.
Like says who?
Come on.
But here's what I let me put a proper spin on this. Okay. Right. I see somebody trying to be responsible. Okay. But it's a fine line between trying to be responsible and then killing what you have going. You know. And I see that if you are a fiancé and you're about to marry. You're about to get married.
Mm-hmm.
It's a possibility. If she had said fiance, I understand.
Yeah, but
he's a boyfriend.
He's a boyfriend now.
Like son.
No.
Yeah.
Nah. Hell no.
You know,
sorry.
Like nah. It's one of those things that I know somebody will have a different opinion. There's nothing wrong with that. I get it. But it's no.
Okay. Yeah, well, why should I combine my finances with my boyfriend?
No, if he's doing that when he's a boyfriend, what is he going to do when they get engaged?
Mm-mm.
What is he going to do when they get married?
Red flag.
He's going to maybe not a red flag for the whole relationship, but that part of it, tell him to calm down and
say, no,
I want to be responsible for now.
Yeah.
And you can make it your condition. Like once he's proposed to you, if you really like him like that, you may say that's your own thing you want to give. Like he wants to know what's going on with that, so you know, just talk about that. But generally, even as boyfriend girlfriend, you will have conversations about credit scores, about how much money you make, about what kind of salary you make, how somebody beat you with a different salary, a higher salary at work.
Right.
You can have an idea of how much you guys make. You go out together, you go on vacation sometimes together, you have an idea. So I'm not saying you should be hiding those things.
Mm-mm.
Or be secretive about those things. I'm saying the idea of
combined
by
finances,
force,
like honestly,
forcefully getting you to combine finances.
And when a boyfriend
like,
want to know how much the girlfriend makes, I feel like there's something there that you know he's not talking about. Like maybe he's intimidated by.
You see
his
how
girlfriend.
She couldn't put it into words. Let me say it like this: I wouldn't if my girlfriend has not freely felt like she can
share
that with
me. She
needs to
share it. Yeah.
I'm not asking.
Yeah.
Okay, that's such an attraction killer.
Yeah.
That's such a needy.
And we're not engaged.
Such a needy behavior. And
it is.
I'm not asking. Don't ever ask that kind of question, you know, if they don't feel the need to share with you. Because once you ask, they're going to be like, why you want to know?
Mm-hmm.
What you want to know? Right?
I guess you want to know why? Because I hear that too often.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a few single people around me that actually deal with that in their relationship.
Yeah.
That the boyfriend is asking,
so
but you don't tell me how much you make. Son, why do you want to know how much I make?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like your.
Why is that a thing?
Why is that a thing? Why is it a must?
Yeah.
You know, the intimidation just comes out of a guy, and that's very unattractive to women.
Yeah, it's not
once
cool.
You do that, you're losing the woman.
At the end
of the day, you're gonna lose her.
Yeah, it's on both sides. It's not an attractive thing, especially if you're a man. You should not be doing that. It should not be. You should be self as a man, especially.
Yeah.
You gotta be self sustainable.
Confident in yourself,
where you know that when she wants to,
she will tell you. Especially women, I feel like we can whatever.
I've never felt the need to.
I don't feel like women
have
a problem sharing everything.
If they like you, they will share
if
everything.
If they love you, they give you everything.
If a girl likes you, if a woman likes you, she will tell you everything, even more than you ask for.
Yep.
She's a woman. She will tell you. If she's not telling you, chances are you're showing
maybe you're showing up
very weak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's going to get worse when you ask.
Absolutely.
You know. What do you think about prenups?
I would say
when
it comes to prenup,
mm-hmm.
everyone have a right to protect themselves. because mm-hmm. you know, in this world,
it gets real out here.
It gets real out here. There are people that marry people for basically their money, and then they split off and then just run away after a year. So I can't say
it's a
bad thing, or I don't know. I feel like if you feel like you need mm-hmm. a prenup, go for
do
it.
Do what you gotta do. Yeah,
do what you gotta do. I can't really just
be
confident.
Just like we said earlier, be confident in asking for it. And stand by it. And you have your reasons. Chances are you're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
You're well off, and you want to protect your assets. That's
completely
understandable. And I would advise that if you're well off and you have meaningful size assets to protect,
mm-hmm.
not just for yourself but for the particular entities that you run those things through, the LLCs, the incorporations, the corporations, the whatever, you need to protect, you need to seek proper counsel, advice, and protect those things against you and your spouse. It's not against her. It's against you and your spouse. You guys are going to make some decisions that can kill that thing.
Yep.
You need to protect. So maybe if you word it that way, maybe it will help. But, you know, relax. Don't talk like I'm talking right now.
You better get it.
Yeah, relax and understand that I just want to protect those things against us.
Yep.
Because, you know, we love each other. We're in love. Yeah. And, you know, we just want to protect ourselves, okay? Just say it that way, you know. I was going to tell a story. When you got to a point, we're talking about mediation now, right? We did our own first little mediation, right? And I was like, I got to check with the counsel to make sure that my kids are protected from legal loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, I forgot exactly how he said, you go.
You don't trust
so
me?
So all this time you don't trust me? And I look at Lay like, is she serious? like really, nigga?
Oh my god! Yeah.
Wait, is that a question? Did you plan to be here?
No.
What do you mean? Do I trust you? I don't even trust myself.
Yep.
You know, you get the point. Is like it's not about trust, really.
It's not.
We're human beings. We can change our mind. We can, you know. That's why we make our first core pillar God.
Yes.
God, because we can change our minds, and that should be okay. Life is short. No one is holy. No one is holy than Jesus.
No.
Right?
No.
People can act up, change their mind, misbehave.
I mean, things happen.
Things happen. Protect yourself with the legal powers of a civilized society. Don't shy away from it if you feel you
don't
have something
delusional.
You should protect.
Mm-hmm.
But just remember that you're protecting your assets against you guys. It's not against
it's
her.
It's not a war.
Maybe that's a good way you can put it, in a way that she doesn't feel or take it personally,
mm-hmm.
you know, or he takes it personally. But yeah, prenup, there's nothing wrong with it. Absolutely. So, in our book, Get My Marriage Back, the core reasons why people have these troubles, we addressed all of them in the book. GetMyMarriageBack.com is free. For the PDF download, it's also available in Kindle, audiobook, paperback. If you like marking with markers in the paper, you know, it's also available as well too. You know, so it's available for you. Go to getmymarriageback.com. Hopefully, you've been enlightened and educated. Click like on this button if we said anything that made any sense. If she said something that made sense, click like. If me, just do it once, and then click share to share with your friends that will love this video. You know many of them will love this video. So share it and comment your questions below. We'll see you on the next one.
Peace.